Fresh FM.
This is This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's heart and soul.
It is 8:33 right now with the NSK and Shaquan. Thank you so much for choosing us. This is Namibia's heart and soul. We've got Abudi David Bishop in the studio. Right about this time, we always have a conversation about news that is trending or headlines that took us by storm. That's throughout the week. And good day, David. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
I was about to jump into it. Like, yo, what is going on with the Bank of Namibia?
So, well, I wanted to like first get in. It's not very newsy, I suppose, but you know, the way we do the date isn't quite as cool because we must do the day first and then the month. But to anyone who is celebrating, happy 420.
Oh!
What did you miss it?
I missed it.
420.
Oh my God! Today
in Namibia, of course,
is 424.
But yeah, you've just lost out on a whole bunch of content for today's show.
Wow. Good looking now, David.
As I say, not very
new. At 8:34.
Not very newsworthy. But
happy 420, y'all. David, talk to us about the Bank of Namibia that announced.
So the interest
rate hike on the repo rate.
The interest rate went up. The repo rate went up. So the prime lending rate went up. I mean, it had to go up. We knew it was going up. The South African Reserve Bank put their rate up by 50 basis points last month. So we were, of course, all getting very, very worried about a 50 basis point increase here as well.
Yeah.
The Monetary Policy Committee decided rather to only do a 25 basis point increase, a 0.25%. Percentage point. And which, yeah, I mean, it's cushioning us a bit. Obviously, it had to go up because of the, you know, the one-to-one, the currency peg,
and
monetary outflows and all of those sorts of things. So we couldn't have possibly kept it, especially after a 50 basis point increase in South Africa. It had to go up. But you know, it was one of those sort of, thank goodness for small miracles things, I suppose. We knew it was going up. At least it didn't go up by 50.
Yeah.
It only went up by 25. So the repo rate currently 7.25%. Prime lending is 11%. Which, I mean, is a lot higher than it's been in a while, but it's not the highest it's ever been. It doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't make it easier for people to say like, well, at least it wasn't, you know, we're still suffering out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of debate about, you know, the blunt tool of interest rates, you know, and everyone's sort of stuck. The US Federal Reserve is increasing their rate. The European Central Bank's increasing their rate. Bank of England's increasing their rates. About the only sort of G7-ish economy that bucked the trend was Japan, but Japan also comes out of, they've got a really weird economic, you know, the way things work over there. They actually had deflation for ages and ages, where, you know, prices were decreasing instead of prices going up like we have. So we'll just leave Japan out of the equation. But all of those big central banks increasing kind of puts the pressure on every other central bank to carry on increasing. So South African Reserve Bank, you know, has a bit more say, let's say, than the Bank of Namibia, but obviously the Bank of Namibia did show they do have a level of independence by choosing to only go up by 25 basis points instead of 50.
Yeah.
But until all of this stuff sorts itself out, there's sort of no real end that we can say, you know, it's going to stop. A lot of the economists are saying this could be, and especially with South Africa, they said, with the fact that the South African Reserve Bank put it up by 50 basis points in one, you know, fell swoop there, they said to them that was a bit more of an indication that that could be the last one. And it's going to stabilize now. Not necessarily come down, but at least stabilize for a while. We can get used to it. We can get used to our new budget and not worry about it going up again in 3 months' time.
But what's the period that we're looking at if you're saying about, if you're saying stabilization? Just like from historical facts, like what would you say on average? It's like a year? Will it stay like that for a year? 6 months? Because I mean, it's even saying a year, to me, saying it out loud sounds exceptionally ridiculous.
I think if we could actually predict those sorts of things, we'd be making, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you.
Come on.
We'd be making millions.
The man will be on Wall Street for sure.
The economists even all have sort of different outlooks, and they, you know, even every time it comes to interest rate decisions, when you look at the projections from economists, there's never sort of everyone agreeing. They all sort of disagree on things. So some economists are saying this is it, it'll stabilize. Other economists are saying nope, it's still going
to
go up for a while.
Still to come,
we're still looking at the US obviously and their jobs data and their inflation. You know, the war in Ukraine is still ongoing. There's so many other things that are fueling this, but so as I was saying, we kind of forced, South Africa was kind of forced to use this instrument. Letsedia Kanyago in South Africa is a fan of using interest rates to control inflation, saying that things would be a lot harder for people. You know, an interest rate hike is easier for people than rampant inflation, which I suppose has a point. You don't want inflation sitting at like 30, 40, 50% and you know, really can't afford to buy your groceries. But there's an argument that says, well, you know, most of our most of our inflation is imported anyway. It's not because we're out there spending our money and just buying unnecessary goods. So, you know, does it really actually control inflation?
All right, something to think about. And then one thing that was also making headlines this week is obviously the gold mafia.
Yeah, the gold mafia in Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, we've got a gold mine that's announced that they'll be closing down their operations It was, again, one of those sort of sensationalist, you know, that everyone suddenly panicked and thought this was a decision that had just come overnight and they were going to just leave the country. Mm-hmm. But it's been something that's been in the projections. Mm-hmm. The Chamber of Mines knew about it. The government knows about it. Mines have a certain lifespan once the gold's gone.
What did they say? They have around 9 years left?
Yeah, as they start, depending on economic conditions. Obviously, if the gold price is nice and high, it's economical to sort of get the last tiny little pieces out of the mine as you're busy shutting it down and rehabilitating. But once the gold's gone, the gold's gone.
You're speaking about B2Gold, aren't you?
Yeah, he's speaking about B2Gold. Yeah, yeah.
Were you speaking about B2Gold or were you referring to the Zimbabwe situation?
No, he just made reference that we also have the gold mine.
No, we don't. I'm not saying we've got the gold mafia here. I just went off on another tangent. I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm not saying there is. I'm not putting my head on the block and saying there is.
We're not saying nothing. Okay. But no. Like, in terms of the gold mafia, I actually wanted to bring it to the table because we did have a conversation with a journalist from Zimbabwe. What was his name? George?
George Msumba.
What he said, because we posted the question that, listen, part four was not released, right? And, you know, they wrapped up the investigations, whatever it is. We've seen what we needed to see for now. What are people on the ground actually saying in Zimbabwe? What he said was that, do you know what? It's actually mostly Zimbabweans in the diaspora who are really talking about it and us on the outside. But here's something else to think about as well. Are we just looking at this on from, you know, just the perspective that Al Jazeera actually put on the table? I mean, these people have, you know, sanctions. How else were they supposed to be trading the gold that they have, you know? But what is just your take on the gold mafia of what we actually... You have seen the documentary.
I haven't watched the full documentary yet, unfortunately. I've been sort of busy with other stuff there. So I don't I don't really want to comment too much on all of the stuff because I haven't actually watched everything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, from the point of view of you saying, yes, you know, don't just take what Al Jazeera says as 100% fact.
Very true.
You know, think about... And, which sort of brings me back to the breakfast table this morning. And I feel sorry for my son. Because, you know, as a 9-year-old, he makes a statement. And I'm like, no, come. Now you need to back that up. We need to sit. You've got to research. You can't just say this is this. You can't say this is a fact.
You've got to, let's...
Who said that? Do you have a name? Who are you going to cite? Let's go and research that person. Are they credible? even with Al Jazeera, don't just because it's Al Jazeera doesn't mean it's 100%. Everybody, there's no such thing as sort of true impartiality. Everybody has a slight angle. Everybody's got, you know, something. And I'm not saying Al Jazeera is putting anything out there to try and target. I'm not saying they're putting out propaganda. They're doing their research. They're checking their facts. But yeah, it's always worth looking at a different angle and saying, okay, they're saying this, but...
But because there's actually someone on Twitter that actually made a practical example, if you will. Let's say, for example, we all live in one house, hey? So then we're told that, listen, because you are, I don't know, you were not listening to us, whatever it is, you're going to be in the naughty corner. So for like a year, you're not allowed to leave your house and you're not allowed to go to the shops to buy whatever it is that you need. So you kind of stock up, you prepare yourself for it too, as best as you can. You stock up for like a year, but then after a while, like, you run out of supplies, right? But because you are not allowed to go to the shop yourself, physically to buy for yourself, now we start asking Dion. Okay, Dion, are you going to ShopRite? Okay, please bring us one and stuff, whatever it is. And then Jacques realizes that we are now getting supplies from Dion, and then they're like, okay, so that is wrong. Okay, so Dion cannot be helping David and Jaquan and NSK, whatever it is. You know, that was like just one way to look at the whole situation. But you know what?
Yeah,
you do have a good point.
I think there's an element of that, but I think a bigger problem with the gold mafia again ties into this. You know, there's a lot of pushback coming now against, and we see it here locally, where, you know, people are suddenly asking questions, how can you earn 180,000 a month? Now we're seeing you know, other people being offered 280,000 a month and saying, no, I was earning 320,000 at that place, so you must give me more. And there's that. So I think an element of that gold mafia thing is, once again, it's like, you know, fine, you had to get around sanctions, but again, it's just an elite group of people who are enriching themselves, and the country itself isn't getting enriched. And
that's
there's a lot of that pushback that's happening now. I'm seeing even in the UK, King Charles's coronation, people are saying, like, what, guy? It's a slap in the face. We're suffering. We can't buy food.
Yeah.
We can't get medical treatment, and you're going to have this expensive coronation. You already sit on a golden throne. There's that sort of movement that's happening, and I think a lot of, you know, pushback against Fishrod, against, you know, City of Windhoek 5G plans, against whatever it is that we're seeing, against the gold mafia, I don't want to say an uprising, but there's a change in sentiment on you know, and social media, I think, has a lot
to do with that.
In, you know, one of the benefits of social media, there are a lot of drawbacks, but it's getting people to be able to share and talk and say, you know, that's not right.
Yeah. All right, cool. David Bishop, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you. That's the editor-in-chief of Future Media News. He really hates titles, but...
Yeah. We'll editor-in-chief. When you see him around, be like, oh, wait, editor-in-chief!
Our editor-in-chief!
That was This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's Heart and Soul.